OU Israel presents
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky. This show is for Parshat Vo'era. Recording and first broadcast is Thursday, that's Yom Chamishi of Shabbat Parshat Vo'era, the 25th day of Tevet 5768, the third day of January 08. As soon as I finish this recording, I'm on my way to my nephew Yecheskel's wedding to a lovely girl named Ortal. And I am not just his uncle, but I was his Sandek about 23 and a half years ago. And it will be a pleasure to see the progress of Kishem Shenichnas Lebrit Keni Yikones LeTorah, which I know he has, LeChupa, I hope to see this evening, ulamasim tovim, in the past, present, and future, for the young couple in a happy, healthy, long life together, a bayit ne'eman b'Yisrael, Yecheskel and Ortal. By the way, in case any of the listeners want me to mention a mazel tov on the air, I'll be glad to. Just send me an email. You can send it to TTA, Torah Tidbits Audio, at IsraelNationalRadio.com, and just give me the details, and I'll announce it, so too with a Yortzeit, and we could turn it more into a family show because of it, but I'm very pleased to clue you in on the upcoming marriage of my nephew. Psalm 130, Tehillim Kuf Lamed. Shir ha-ma'alot mima'amakim k'raticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli, tehiena aznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmoria Adonai mia amod, ki imacha haslicha l'ma'an tivare. Ki viti Adonai kivita nafshi v'lidvaro holcholti. Nafshi l'Adonai, mi shomerim l'boker, shomerim l'boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai ha-chesed v'harbe imo fedut, v'hu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara uvashivya, ha-omdim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, ha-makom yirachem aleihem v'yotzieim mitzara lirvacha, u'meafela la'ora u'mishibud l'geula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv v'nomar amen. I spent a lot of time on last week's show talking about that package deal, the plan of God's to take us out of Israel, to give us the Torah, to bring us into Eretz Yisrael. I referred to the beginning of this week's Torah reading of Vo'era, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I do want to put it on the table into perspective of this week. But let's go back a little to the very beginning. The first pasuk is extremely interesting. Vaydaber Elokim el Moshe, Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. Usually, for God speaking to someone, you will either find Vayomer Hashem, or Vaydaber Hashem, or Vaydaber Elokim, which you find here. But immediately after saying, and God in the name Elohim, spoke in the harsher language of to speak rather than to say to Moshe, it switches in the same pasuk, Vayomer Elav, and he not spoke to him, but he said to him, Ani Hashem, I am God. The flavor of these words being mixed into this first verse of this week's Torah reading of Va'era convey the following idea as explored by the commentaries. At the very end of Parshat Shemot, last week's Torah reading, Moshe got very upset at the fact that not only did his words to Paro not produce success in letting the people go, but as God had told Moshe would happen, Paro refused, and he made things worse for the people. And the people felt that they knew who caused them this problem, and Moshe Rabbeinu was the target of that feeling on the part of the people, and he let off some steam, so to speak, at God. Vayashav Moshe el Hashem vayomar. Moshe went back to God and said, Hashem, lama harayota la'am hazeh, lama zeh shalachtani. Why'd you make things bad for these people? Why did you send me? Umeyaz bati el paro, ever since I came to Pharaoh, l'daber b'shmecha, to speak in your name, heira la'am hazeh. Things got worse for the people. Vahatzel lohit salti et amecha, and I did not save your people. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, God says to Moshe, Ata tireh, you shall see, Asher e'esel lefaro, what I'm going to do to Pharaoh. Ki v'yod chazaka yishalachem, he will send them out of Egypt. U'v'yod chazaka yigarshem me'artzo, and he will expel the people from his land. But God was angry with Moshe. And vayedaber Elokim el Moshe, God was about to speak harshly to Moshe. We don't have what he said to him in reproach. We only sense it from the use of the words Vayedaber and Elokim. But immediately, in the same verse, God softens to Vayomer and introduces himself as the Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, the four-letter name of God, which we pronounce in a respectful manner when we're not praying or reading from the Torah, by saying Hashem, the name, rather than the way that we pronounce the name. Because that is the way that God wants himself presented to the people. And we see it in the upcoming psukim, in the upcoming verses. God says to Moshe, I appear to Avraham, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov as Kael Shakai, another set of names of God, Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lahem. And I did not reveal myself as Hashem. I will say it once now. Religious Jews generally hesitate, out of respect for the name, not to throw it around. But so that all the listeners understand what I'm talking about, I am talking, when I say Hashem, it is the four-letter name spelled with a Yud, a He, a Vav, and a He, to be pronounced Adonai, and not the way it's written. That's our very, very sharp tradition. We do not pronounce the Yud, He, Vav, He name the way it's written, but we, when we pray or when we read the Torah, pronounce it usually Adonai. Sometimes it's actually pronounced Elohim, and it depends upon the vowels that are printed, but in neither case is it pronounced the way it is written. But as I said, when you speak about it, you generally say Hashem, the name. Elohim is generally spoken of as Elohim, again to maintain the integrity and the proper respect for one of the special divine names. So God says, this is a different face of me that I am presenting, so to speak, to the people. Shmi Hashem lo nodati lahem, I have not previously revealed myself as Hashem. V'gam hakimoti et briti itam, I am also fulfilling my covenant with them. Latet lahem et eretz kena'an et eretz megurehem asher garuva, I am going to fulfill my promise of giving them Eretz Kena'an, the land of Kena'an, to become Eretz Yisrael. What's interesting about that is we're in the context of the Exodus. The plagues are about to begin in this Sedra. God is sending Moshe to basically end the period of slavery, and in the course of a full year, the plagues unfolded, during which time the people were not subjected to slavery, yet they were not yet free to leave Egypt, as they were at the culmination of the plagues with the smiting of the firstborn. But that we'll get to in Yirtzeh Hashem in next week's Torah reading. But in the context of enslavement, oppression, persecution in Egypt, and the Exodus, we have quite a number of references, and here's one right in the middle, where God says, not only had I revealed myself to your ancestors, but I have promised them the land of Israel as their habitation, and that will be given to their descendants. Right in the middle here. V'gam ani shamati et na'akat b'nei Yisrael asher Mitzrayim ma'avidim otam, and I have also heard the cries of the children of Israel that Egypt is oppressing them. Vo'ezkor et briti, and I remember my promises and my covenant. Lachain, therefore, emor livnei Yisrael, present me before the people, to the people, and say to the people of Israel, this is how God is saying to you, Ani Hashem, I am God, the God of mercy. V'hotzeiti etchem mitachat sivlot Mitzrayim, I will take you out from under the thumb of Mitzrayim, of Egypt. V'hitzalti etchem me'avodatam, and I will save you from the oppressive labor. V'ga'alti etchem bizroa netuya uvishvatim gedolim, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and great judgments against your oppressors. What we just read in that verse are the first three terms of redemption, all referring to the Exodus. They are known in the verbs as Vahotseiti, Vahitzalti, Vigaalti. I will take you, I will save you, I will redeem you. God is speaking to the people of Israel through the prophet of Moshe, the prophecy of Moshe. Next verse, Vilokachti etchem li la'am. It is not just that you will get out of Egypt, but I will take you unto me as a nation. This is the fourth term of redemption, because to be really free, it's not enough to be released and redeemed from the shackles of Egypt. One has to be brought into a special relationship with God to become subservient to Him, and that is the greatest freedom in the Jewish perspective. V'hayiti lachem le'lokim, I will be for you a God, God. V'datem, and you shall know, ki ani Hashem Elokeichem hamotzi etchem mitachat sivlot Mitzrayim. And part of this experience, the reason that it is considered the fourth term of redemption, not only will I take you out, will I save you, will I redeem you, but because I will enter into a special relationship with you at Sinai, you will know that it is I who took you out of Egypt. The knowledge of who took us out of Egypt is as important, if not more so, than the fact of being redeemed, because that is what solidifies our relationship with God. When God reveals himself at Sinai, he does not say, I am the Lord your God who created the world. It's, I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You know that because of what you witnessed, and that is the basis of the relationship that God has with the Jewish people. That's a very, very significant, important point. The next verse carries through on the rest of the promise. V'heveti etchem el ha'aretz. Not only will I take you out of Egypt, Not only will I make you my nation and me your God, and that you will know that it is I who took you out of Egypt, I will bring you to the land, Asher Nasati et Yadi, the one that I raised my hand figuratively, anthropomorphically, Latet in oath, Latet ota, to give it, the land, Li Avraham, Li Yitzchak, Uli Yaakov. I already promised, swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that it will be given to them. Vinatati ota lachem morasha. But I will give it to you, not but, and I will give it to you, their descendants, as a heritage. And the prophecy ends with the same words it began with, Ani Hashem, I am God. Vaydaber Moshe Kenel B'nei Yisrael, Moshe spoke these words to the people of Israel, but unfortunately, Velo Shamu El Moshe, they didn't listen, Mikotzer Ruach U'me'avodah Kasha, because of their shortness of breath, meaning their downtrodden spirits and their hard labor. In the lead tidbit, in the printed Torah tidbits this week, I tried to modernize, that's not really the right word, but to bring closer to home the experience of Shibud Mitzrayim, the enslavement and oppression in Egypt, and the subsequent Exodus, in a way that hopefully we would be able to get into the issue, to personalize it, to internalize it. The Pesach Haggadah says, Bechol dor vador, in every generation, Chayav adam lirot et atzmo ki'ilu hu yatza mimitzrayim, a person has to picture as if he himself came out of Egypt. That is no small task. Certainly not when you say, a long time ago, more than 3,000 years ago, this is what happened. But if we take the timetable and we superimpose it on our own, then we're talking about the following. In this year, 5768, but let's even make it the way that we think, 2007 to now 2008. If right now we had had a background of oppression, torture, murders, forced labor, concentration camps, Holocaust-like conditions, ghetto conditions. If we take the whole period of the Nazi regime, we're talking about 1930, 33, whatever, until 45. So we're talking about maybe a total, if we want to put it all together, of 15 years, which were terribly, terribly devastating for the Jewish people of Europe. Now we are talking about a period of enslavement, forced labor, persecution, oppression, maiming, torturing, and murders of our children and of our people that lasted throughout the entire 20th century, going back into the end of the 1800s, and lasting into the beginning of the 2000s, a period of 117 years from the death of Levi, the last surviving son of Yaakov. Our tradition, based on the verses in Shemot, is that even though we had come down to Egypt almost 100 years earlier, we had lived in relative tranquility, although without the freedom of leaving, as long as any of Yosef's brothers was still alive. When the Torah tells us, Vayamat Yosef v'chol echav v'chol hador ahu, Yosef and all of that generation died off, then it tells us about the king of Egypt, who began slavery and persecution of the Jewish people. A period that in our chronology would mean beginning back in 1890-ish and lasting till today. So that our memories and those of our parents and grandparents would have been total persecution and Shoah-like experience for the entire people. And now, in 2008, Moshe Rabbeinu comes and presents himself and says that we will be taken out. We can understand why the people, even though they were very enthusiastic in their initial reception of him at the end of Shemot, but when met with harsher decrees than they had even before, did not want to listen and did not want to hear him this time. And he complains to God, because God says, Bo daber el paro melech Mitzrayim, go and speak to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, vishalach et bnei Israel me'artzo, that he should send out the Jewish people from his land. Moshe says before God, Hein bnei Israel lo shomu elai. My own people didn't listen to me. Ve'ech yishma'ini Pharaoh. How's Paro going to listen to me? Vani aral svatayim, and I have speech problems. We'll leave it at that. I don't know about you who are listening, but I know that in focusing on the Holocaust that occurred before my lifetime, but not a lot before my lifetime, and certainly I know many survivors of the Holocaust, my mother-in-law, may she rest in peace, among them, and I had many years of listening to her speak of her experiences, and I have heard from other survivors, that it is easier to put your mind into that position with all of the Holocaust literature that we have than it is to relate to something that occurred 3,300 or so years ago. On the other hand, if we are told by the Mishnah, quoted in the Haggadah, that in every generation a person has to see himself in that position, then it takes work, and I believe the work is helped by speaking in more contemporary terms, and then just being able to cast that back all of those years and say, now I have a little glimpse as to what it must have been like when children grew up in this environment of Egyptian oppression, and so did their parents their entire lifetimes, and their grandparents as well. And with the exception of one or two individuals who were able to remember what it was like in the days of the tranquility that came before, you don't have any of those. We are almost out of those people. We still have some who remember pre-war Germany or pre-war Europe, but there will come a time where that's going to fade into memory as well. And it is our task, it behooves us, to keep that memory fresh, because it's a very important part of the Jewish experience. You are listening to Torah Tidbits Audio for Parshat Vo'era. We have been talking about one of the Bechol Dor Vodor in every generation. A person has to whatever. There is another Bechol Dor Vodor in the Pesach Seder in the Haggadah. This one maybe is one of the explanations as to why it's so important for us to not only tell and remember history, but to imagine as if, ki'ilu, we were part of it. And that is the V'hi sha'amda l'avoteinu v'lanu. We have a standing promise and pledge from God that even though in every generation, omdim aleinu l'chaloteinu, there are enemies that rise up in order to harm us and to do worse, HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu mi'adam. God saves us from their hands. This is a faith, an emunah, that is very, very important for the health, the spiritual and communal well-being of the Jewish people. To know that on the one hand things are tough, and on the other hand God never abandons us, and he will stand by his promise. V'hi sha'amda l'avoteinu v'lanu, shelo echad bilvad omar aleinu l'chaloteinu, ela b'chol dor v'dor omdim aleinu l'chaloteinu, v'akadosh baruch hu matzileinu mi'adam. These are the words from the Haggadah. Here they are, put to music. We'll be right back.
Vedici andò là, vai sei no, là vai sei no. Vellano vici andò là, vai sei no, vellano. Vedici andò là, vai sei no, là vai sei no. Vellano vici andò là, vai sei no, vellano. C'è lei fa, va delle fa.
Plagues brought down on the Egyptians were miracles performed not only as punishments for Egypt, but as demonstrations of God's powers to the people of Israel. Interesting if you think about them in a group. Miracles with water. For 10 points, or $10, Jeopardy, whatever, you've got the first plague of blood, where water is struck by Aharon, wielding the mateh, the staff of Moshe, at God's command, turning the water of Egypt, wherever it is, into blood. The miracle for the people of Israel is that God controls nature. He created it. And he says that generally water is water, and it's good to bathe in, and it's good to drink, and all kind of other good things. But at his command, the water turned to blood as punishment of the Egyptians. At the same time, B'nai Yisrael, the Jews who lived in Egypt, were not without water. Our sources tell us that the same water that was blood for an Egyptian was regular, normal water for a Jew. That's a miracle. There's even a Midrash says that if a Jew and Egyptian drank from the same flask, the Egyptian drank blood, the Jew had clear water. This is not natural, but that's the whole point of this type of miracle. Keep going. Miracles with water for $20. Kriyat Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea. Here is a body of water with its ebb and tide and flow back and forth, waves all the time. And at God's command, Moshe raises the staff above the sea, and it splits. And the water, unnaturally, atypically, will become Mayim Lahem Choma, as a wall for them, on the right and on the left, and the people pass through on dry land. And then the water closed and drowned the Egyptians. And later, another demonstration that not only can God afflict the water and turn it to blood, and not only can he split it and reconnect it, but he could turn bitter water into sweet water with a miracle that he told Moshe to take a certain piece of wood, toss it into the bitter waters, and it was drinkable. And subsequently, where there's no water, to get water out of a rock. So there are many, many miracles with water, but all of the afflictions against Egypt were simultaneously demonstrations of God's powers, both to the Egyptians, and perhaps more significantly to the people of Israel, that they should know who God is. By the way, if you want to argue that the plagues were punishments for the Egyptians, and less significantly, lessons for us, I would argue back by saying the Egyptians got their lesson, and they're gone. And today's Egyptians are not the ancient Egyptians, but the Jewish people live on, and the Jewish people all the time, every single year and more than once a year, are reliving the experience of Yetziat Mitzrayim, of the Exodus. You know that we have sort of two levels of commands. I sort of consider it like an analogy to a diamond ring. You've got the gemstone, which is the center of focus, that represents Leil HaSeder, the Seder night, the first night of Pesach, and outside of Israel, the first two nights of Pesach, where we have a specific command of V'higadta Levincha, Bayom Hahu Lemor, you shall tell your child on that day, meaning when you have matzah and moror as requirements at the Seder, that's when you tell the Haggadah, the story of the Exodus. But it's not a diamond all by itself. It's a diamond in a beautiful setting. That setting is the holiday of Pesach, and it is a setting that's on a full ring, a beautiful gold or silver or platinum ring, white gold, whatever, which in itself is an important part of this whole picture. And that is the other command of Leman Tizkor et Yom Tzeitecha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Kol Yemei Chayecha, that you shall remember the Exodus all the days of your life. The Torah is saturated with commandments that are linked to Yetziat Mitzrayim. I'll add another point. I now am convinced. I shouldn't say it like that. I've always been convinced. But I didn't think of it till recently. That remembering the Exodus goes along with remembering the whole deal. That it's not just physically coming out of Egypt, but it's spiritual emancipation in order to receive the Torah at Sinai, in order to enter into a covenant with God. a mutual covenant with God at Sinai and to go into Eretz Yisrael and live a Torah life here. So go back to something I said before. It does not say, I am the Lord your God who created the world. It is, I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and am entering into a covenant with you of a mutual relationship based on your Torah way of life, and I will bring you to the land of Israel to live that life there. A package deal. Every time the Torah says to remember the Exodus, I believe it's to remember the Exodus and that it was followed immediately by revelation at Sinai, to be followed subsequently by entrance into Eretz Yisrael. And even though the process took longer than it should have taken, and in some way it is still a process that's continuing today, it's part of the relationship between God with the Jewish people. He is not only the God who liberated us from Egypt. He's the God who created the world, who took the people of Israel out of Egypt, made an eternal covenant with us, a mutual covenant where he told us we shall be a Mamlechet Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, and we swore to him, Na'aseh V'Nishma, we will listen and do what the Torah commands. And the package deal consummates in a full Torah life in the land of Israel. Even though I haven't discussed it yet with my brother, I am very much expecting to give Divrei Torah over Shabbat at the Sheva Brachot for my nephew and new niece, Ortal. I would have said the following in last week's Ufruf, which was on a much smaller scale than the Shabbat Sheva Brachot, but I did walk to Har Nof, a nice 7-kilometer walk that took me 1 hour and 25 minutes, but I'm just showing off now. I guess I could have pushed to do it sooner. In any event, what I would have said related to Parshat Shemot is the essential value and significance of marriage to the Jewish people. There was a situation in Egypt, this really belongs to last week's Sedra, the situation was so bad that Amram, one of the leaders of the people, left his wife, separated from his wife Yocheved, and many of the other men followed suit, and the feeling was, why should we remain married and raise a family and bring children into this world of Egyptian oppression? It's better off that we not have children. Little child Miriam, who we call Miriam HaNeviah, Miriam the prophetess, older sister of Moshe and Aharon, Aharon and Moshe. She prophesied to her father, and it could be the only prophecy that she had, and she still is called forever Miriam the prophetess. She said, your decree is harsher than Pharaoh's. Pharaoh only said to kill the boys who were born and leave the girls alive. You have condemned boys and girls to never being born. With that prophecy, at those words of Miriam, of Amram, the Torah tells us, Vayelech ish mi beit Levi, a man from the family of Levi, from the house of Levi, Vayikach et bat Levi, and he took again as his wife, as he had done previously, the daughter of Levi, namely Yocheved. From there was born Moshe Rabbeinu, the Redeemer of the people of Israel. Marriage is very, very significant to the survival of the people. I am not saying anything new and novel, but it is something that we tend to forget sometimes, and we have to know that marriage and family is at the core of our chain of tradition. With that, and in honor of my nephew Yecheskel and my soon-to-be niece Ortal, here is a song from the wedding traditions, a song that is sung in welcoming the bride and the groom, or I should say the groom and then the bride, under the chuppah at Jewish weddings. This Shabbat is Shabbat Mevorachim Chodesh Shavat. On this Shabbat we announce and bless the upcoming month of Shavat with the words Rosh Chodesh Shavat Yehiyeh B'yom HaShlishi or B'yom Shlishi Haba Aleinu V'al Kol Yisrael L'tova. This coming Tuesday is Rosh Chodesh Shavat. It is a one-day Rosh Chodesh because Tevet before it has 29 days. In our fixed calendar, Tevet always has 29 days. In the slightly more flexible calendar from the time of Sanhedrin, when the months were sanctified based on eyewitness testimony of the first visibility of the lunar crescent, any given month could have had 29 or 30 days. An interesting side point is that of the five possible days of the week that Rosh Chodesh Shvat can be, namely not Sunday or Friday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Shabbat. Tuesday is the rarest. The last time Rosh Chodesh Shvat was a Tuesday was 27 years ago. The next time it's scheduled in our fixed calendar is 44 years from now, but that could change with the Sanhedrin. May it come speedily in our time. Tu B'Shvat is exactly the 15th day of Shvat, which makes it the same day a week of the week as the first day. So whatever I just said about Rosh Chodesh Shvat goes for Tu B'Shvat. And on that note, I wish my brother and sister-in-law, Binyamin and Nancy, and the whole family, Mazal Tov on the wedding, and all of the listeners of Torah Tidbits Audio, Shabbat Shalom, Chodesh Tov, Lehishtameah.